Welcome, friends, to the God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. The God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 201, Joy, comes your way now.
Pete, this is an episode written by your series creators, Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt, directed by Victor Nelly Jr., he of The Trouble with the Curve last season, and all sorts of TV in the last 15 years. This is an episode with a 0.9 rating that got 6.92 million live viewers. That's on par with the season one finale, on the lower end for season one, but a healthy outing to get things started for season two.
And certainly assisted by the lead-in of National League football action. Bears mentioning, Matt, so they're saying 8:30 on the time. They're not saying 8 o'clock anymore. They're saying 8:30. The show went off at 8:45. This after they insisted going from the end of one football game to another, which was kind of baffling when you still had 60 minutes.
Certainly, and ultimately, the show is helped by strong football viewership in the fall, by a hearty 60 minutes, Pete, a weighty 60 minutes to watch this past week as well. I will say, for the schedule ahead, we definitely have at this point episodes 202, 203, and 204 scheduled concurrently, and I think the CBS schedule is still being finalized between here and the end of December, but we probably will have about half of those be solid 8 o'clock starts. That is to say, half the time CBS has or does not have NFL doubleheader action. And it's those doubleheader games, those 4:15 games when they go over, et cetera, where you might have the show not hitting its regularly scheduled time. So do, dear listeners, keep an eye on the schedule. Don't always assume 8:30. Gotta see it through the lens. Got to see God Friend and Me through the lens of the other great American pastime on Sundays, that being football.
Leading up to the big wedding in the middle of November sweeps, right?
Is that your prognostication, Pete? Should we hold that for the theory segment later? I don't know.
We'll talk about it in due course, Matt. But what do you say we take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode? Previously on God Friend and Me, the account, the romance, the split up, and joy. This season, Miles is guesting on The Block, and season two of his podcast is coming out along with expositional recap. Dad's getting married, Sister Allie's helping out, Rakesh is head of R&D at Identity Seal, and Kara's in Paris. It's that shot Stephen Lillian was talking about. There's also joy, but that's coming soon.
Turns out Miles doesn't have more of a story about Joy. She split last April, and Miles hasn't gotten a friend suggestion since then. That means the podcast could go belly up. And what does Kara think? Miles isn't bothering her in Paris. Meanwhile, in Paris, Kara feels like something's missing.
Back in New York, Miles considers unfriending the account, then promptly runs into Joy. Though she's a believer, she's not a believer in the account, though it seems like it believes in her. Miles tells her she's got to help her friend's suggestion and that she's got a new one. Meanwhile, at Arthur's place, Allie's having him and Trish try cake. Dad's got to tie up a few loose ends at the church, too.
Actually, Arthur just needed time to process the idea of moving in with Trish, but not moving out of his longtime home. Miles and Joy are headed to see a soldier who got directions from Miles. While walking, Miles asks expositional questions that help us know Joy's stopped practicing law and came to the Big Apple to start over. Meanwhile, in Gay Paris, Kara recaps with Simon her first season story, as well as the previously untold story of Annie Keller, a friend from her past. Back to New York, Lieutenant Fremont's hanging out with a friend, but Joy's coming on way too hard to help.
Miles pulls Joy aside. You need to help slowly and with care. They tail him to a cemetery and see the grave stop is for Sergeant Stevenson. Joy goes back to Miles' apartment where Rakesh is working his magic to no avail. Still, Joy sees the account likes a local park, and Miles and Rakesh are off to investigate.
Back at Arthur's place, he admits to Trish he doesn't want to move from this home with so many memories. Memories that Trish doesn't share. In Paris, Simon's found Annie, but he had a past with her. She sniffed around the account in the past, and Simon had her journalistically blackballed. At the park in New York City, Joy and Miles confront Fremont. The lieutenant has chest pains. In the hospital, the doctor tells them his heart is under potentially fatal stress.
Fremont is willing to risk it all for his service, but Miles tells him he can find a new purpose. Back in Paris, Kara meets up with Annie, sharing that the former is in Paris with the latter's old nemesis. Annie's kind of upset about it. In New York, Arthur gives Miles and Rakesh new perspective on the former public defender Joy. She needs help to help people. Maybe she'll keep an open mind, and they go to see Private Caffey. He's less open-minded. If Fremont says he's fine, that's that. Maybe Fremont's pen pal sweetie, Rose Stevenson, could help. Time to work on a new account case with Kara assisting from Paris.
Miles and Joy find Fremont in Times Square. Suddenly the power shuts down. When it comes back up, Fremont's face is on every Times Square screen, and he's reunited with Rose. It's love and they kiss. Joy's amazed by the power of the account and shares that she had a daughter that she gave up for adoption. This is the reason Joy is in New York. The next morning, Arthur is ready to go house hunting, and Trish's suggestion just might be perfect. In fact, he bought the house. In Paris, Annie's ready to mend fences with Kara. The episode ends with a Miles montage, talking about helping people, Fremont starting a new life in recruiting, Arthur's new home, and the new mystery of how long the God account has been pulling strings after all.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, here's a theory right off the bat. Will we see a love triangle with Joy, Miles, and Kara at some point this season?
I mean, it feels almost, Matt, like that would be low-hanging fruit for a show that so often doesn't take the easy way out. So I want to believe no. At the same time, I really enjoy the dynamic that Jessica Liu's Joy has brought to the show in this, her first episode. And there's a little bit of chemistry between her and Miles. I think that's undeniable. They also have the dynamic that Kara and Miles don't seem to have, that of, you know, Joy professing herself to be a believer in God, and Miles, of course, an atheist.
Certainly, as we have said many, many times before, part of what makes this show different than so many others is that it relies on conflict from outside of the core group. You know, it's not, you know, the detective saying, listen, prosecutor, you need to prosecute to get law and order. I think that for these initial episodes, you get to have some difference of opinions between Joy and the rest of the group, but assuming that 20 episode or so season order, pretty quickly she's going to be in there. You know, I mean, how many times do you need the account to offer up a thing until you're a believer? She's seen it the once. Certainly, I don't expect this to be to have the same level of question 5 episodes from now. So, as always, it'll be interesting to see where they get external drama for the group to deal with internally.
And given her personal circumstances that she gave a child up for adoption, the notion that she is a believer is an interesting one. So this is an optimistic person. This is somebody who feels that, the larger mysteries in life and the personal mystery that she's going through can somehow be intermingled.
I'll just mention too, and this with complete love towards the show. It's a loving finger wag. Pete, I'm so glad that she works as a waitress and therefore has the same flexible hours that, let's say, Miles has. So these things can be worked on, you know, any time, day or night. Unlike, say, Rakesh, who now is a bit more tied to the old desk, and Kara, of course, tied to her job in Paris. You know, we commented many times last season how Miles would just kind of come and go from his job. I appreciate that the show just committed to that fully and was like, I don't know exactly how he's making the sweet, sweet podcasting money, but in this show, he's making the sweet, sweet podcasting money from Freeverse and doesn't need to be not showing up to work at Identity Seal anymore.
The baby given up for adoption creates a storyline that's going to obviously carry throughout the season. I don't know if it's quite on the level of who is the God account and we will find Henry Chase, who created the God account and the Juliet code and everything that transpired in season one, but it's definitely going to be a thing where, you know, in episode three, they're not going to find Joy's child. And I think the other interesting story clock that started with a much more tangible timer is that of Arthur and Trish's wedding in 6 weeks.
Which certainly will make for a very nice, you know, a nice bit of story time. I mean, who doesn't love a TV wedding, Pete? I think we'll get another patented Miles montage at the end talking about the virtues of family and love and new beginnings, and that while never forgetting your past. I mean, I would almost say it writes itself, but I know it's going to be a really special episode of God Friend of Me when it does happen. So I say, you know, bring it on.
And then it's funny that this season two premiere, you know, contrasted to the series pilot setting up the central mystery of the show, this one really establishes the idea of timeline and really when will characters either get married or, in Kara's case, when will she come back from Paris? She can't spend the season in Paris, right, Matt?
No, I mean, I guess in my head, I mean, let's say she was in 6 minutes or so of the show. Probably, if they've written things smartly, you know, they've probably done all the Paris exteriors for the amount of time that they want. You know, they've probably done it for, let's say it's 4 episodes. They probably have filmed all that stuff in one block. Maybe you set aside a week to be there, out of which, you know, each day generates a couple minutes worth of footage. So I would imagine, let's say between now and Thanksgiving, at least in how the show, you know, airs in our reality, I'd imagine she's back before then. You know, maybe you shoot 4 to 6 episodes worth of stuff and intersperse it there. But that too could make for a nice reunion. I mean, Pete, if we're going to do a wedding, Arthur and Trish's wedding in 6 weeks, how about that be when Kara comes back, lovers reunited, etc.? You know, could be good stuff.
I was just going to say that would make the most sense as far as timing, her return. One other notion here, I think important to consider. And again, whereas season one, the God account, who's behind it, what does it do, how does it work in these mysterious ways, and now at the end of this episode establishing that it has long been in play and not a more recent development.
I know that that's something that we had kicked around somewhat in jest in our you know, lead up to season two. Again, the show kind of is doubling down and saying, we're not going to give you definitive answers like the skies open and the Lord of up above comes down and says, yes, that's me on Facebook. Nor are we going to say there is no God. It's just, you know, Zuckerberg or whoever fooling around with Facebook. The show could exist in a happy middle now that we spent all of last season kind of understanding what the code, the account is and is not, to now dial it back and say, oh my goodness, this was 3-4 years ago. Do I fully anticipate that the major through line for most of this season is going to be the history of how the account actually worked? No, I don't. But they're leaving it there as a story option. I think it's a story thread to watch. Does it maybe become something that that fades away? Does it become something that the show has big plans for? Time will tell.
And then lastly, Matt, the blackout that occurred in the Times Square scene. It wasn't long ago that you and I were on our way to the God Friend and Me panel at the Paley Center. We're actually on the way back and noticed just how much, and you know, we're down the Jersey Shore. We're close enough to New York. We go there enough. But, you know, that night in particular, how lit up the entire area is just by the signs. And they build the blackout into the scene. And Matt, I couldn't help but think, with a blackout, a pretty major blackout hitting the city this summer, not all of it, but enough of it, and there was quite a bit of chaos as a result of it, was God Friended Me the cause, or vice versa? And what do you know? I tweet that out. Okay, so now we know what caused the most recent NYC blackout, hashtag God Friended Me. And series co-creator and showrunner Stephen Lillian liked the tweet.
Well, always nice to get the like, the social media attention from Stephen Lillian. Wish I could say the same about Brian Winbrandt. He, of course, not on Twitter. But Pete, I know you say it in jest. I will say of that scene that I think they could have written it as, oh, man, people suddenly, you know, are chaotic at the last lack of power. But, you know, I think that we've seen in many places, but in New York in particular, where it's like, you know, oh man, there's the power outage. Well, fancy restaurant opens up its freezer and starts handing out, you know, expensive ice cream to passersby, because you know what? We come together in times like this.
What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, first, the tweet from our loyal listener, Peter, that's at TweetScala. Now time to wait for the God Friend Me podcast by Fantastic Geek, hosted by fellow Mets fan Peter J. Cadelar and Looking Back Lost. Can't wait to hear what you both have to say. Pete, as we've said before, it's happening now.
It is happening right now. And between the show, our live tweet, recording the podcast the next afternoon as we are now, your opportunity to get your thoughts across for the show. So always interested into what Pete is going to have to say, pick up, and certainly with the rest of our audience.
Pete, some other tweets here. The first from James, it's at Big Killin'. Speaking of the episode, it was amazing. Wasn't ready for all the quote-unquote joy. Also a tweet from Andre Yeager, that's at Dr. Polo 1983. I am so glad the show is back. Love the way they integrated joy into the show. And lastly, a tweet from our pal Bob Keeley, that's at R. Keeley. Good start for the new season, setting up lots of plot for the season. First 5 minutes was a little exposition heavy, but I probably needed it. Your thoughts on all of that, Pete?
Well, you know, between our core listeners there and frequent commentators certainly getting the point across. And, you know, I like what Bob said about the episode. You know, the thing that I think Fantastic Geek takes pride in the most is an audience that knows what they're looking at and understanding exposition, not calling it out per se, but understanding, you know, when you have to tell rather than show. I would add to that, Matt, a response to my tweet from J. Lou. That's at Jessica Lou, L-U, on Twitter. She, of course, the new addition to the show, the Joy actress. And I had tweeted just in general, Joy adds some next level skills to the old God squad. And she replied, woohoo, thanks for watching.
Well, you know what? Always tickled pink to know that people involved with a show that we're podcasting are seeing us talking about it. Pete, maybe she's a listener. In a minute, we'll talk contact info if she wants to give us some thoughts from her perspective on the show. But, you know, glad to see she's out there on social media soaking up the love for God Friended Me.
And, of course, always showing love, and the love certainly being reciprocal, are the people who head to patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
Indeed, Pete, we are so privileged to be listener supported, keeping us sustainable as our costs continue to happen in terms of making the bleeps and the bloops come out to you, fair listeners. So our eternal thanks to those who go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek and lend a hand.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content. All it takes is a dollar to get you in that door, and you do things beyond just the bleeps and the bloops of bandwidth, helping us make the annual trip up to New York Comic Con, where we will be collecting material for our Watchmen podcast by Fantastic Geek. Going to check out the HBO pilot on Friday, October 4th. The big Star Trek universe panels, dueling panels there at the Hulu Theater at Madison Square Garden on Saturday, October 5th.
Certainly looking forward to seeing other listeners and pals there, talking to them about the shows that we love to podcast. Pete, for people who aren't going to New York Comic Con, how can people talk to you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKelaar, KetelAar, 10,671 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word, like it today.
Well, Pete, we will be talking New York Comic Con goodness this upcoming weekend on our pop culture podcast feed. If you're just here for the GFM, well, we will be back next Monday to talk Episode 202 of Godfriend and Me. With that, I will say adios to all the listeners, Pete, and give you the final word.
Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God.